Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word of life. Thank God for his spirit at work in us. Amen. So you're welcome to another episode on the Everyday with Jesus broadcast. And we've been studying on forgiveness of sins, remission of sins. We've seen the significance of remission of sins, the difference between Old Testament forgiveness and New Testament forgiveness. We've seen the place of repentance in the gospel of remission of sins. What's the role of repentance? We've studied this carefully in this series. We've also seen, you know, of late, we've seen the doctrine of restitution and how it's unscriptural. Amen. Unscriptural, though it's in the Old Testament, it is unscriptural because it is not applicable to Christians today. It is unscriptural because scriptures are only explained in the light of what Jesus has done today. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. All scripture, it says, and that from a child, you have known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. At John chapter 5, verse 39 to 40, Jesus speaking to the Jews. He says to them, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me, but you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. Hallelujah. The scriptures collectively bear witness to the work and the person of Christ Jesus. So, no matter what the doctrine is, if it is not in accordance with the new covenant, it is not scriptural. It is not biblical for believers to adhere unto today. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. It may be found in the scriptures, but you see, we must bear in mind that there's such a thing as rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we can rightly divide the word of truth, we can wrongly divide the word of truth. Hallelujah. You can misapply scriptures. You can carry over things from the Old Testament, like we have seen about the doctrine of restitution, carry things from the Old Testament and apply it to believers. Hallelujah. Just like we don't shed the blood of bulls today and we rely absolutely on the blood of Jesus shed, for our sins today in the New Testament, we ought not to rely on any ritual or any rite or any instruction and doctrine that is based on the old covenant, that is based in the law of Moses. Hallelujah. The only relevance of the Old Testament to us today is in the light of the things that have been fulfilled by the sacrifice of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's in the light of the shadows and the types and the prophecies that were communicated in the Old Testament that have found their fulfillment in Christ today. That's the only relevance. And that is exactly how Jesus used the scriptures. Look at Luke 24. Glory be to Jesus. Luke 24. I'll read from verse 27. Luke chapter 24, verse 27. Praise God. Okay, I'm also trying to get there. Hallelujah. Luke 24, 27, Bible says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Jesus showed them all through scriptures, the things concerning himself. Then we get to verse 44. He says, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. All things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Hallelujah. So you see, the only relevance of the Old Testament books today is for us to find the is for us to find the things that were written concerning Jesus and have found their fulfillment in his death and resurrection. Hallelujah. We don't obey Old Testament instructions. That's why Jesus will say, you have heard of them of old, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, you shall love your enemies. So the instruction given in the Old Testament is annulled, is cancelled, is nullified. The only thing that is still valid today are the things that were written concerning Jesus that have found their fulfillment in Christ today. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to God. Look at what Peter says at 2 Peter chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1. Glory to Jesus. I'll read from verse 16, it says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, knowing as the light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. It says you do well to heed. You do well to heed the prophetic scriptures until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. The morning star is Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That is, when we pay attention to the prophetic scriptures, the only thing that should shine out to us as day is the revelation of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 16. Glory be to God. Romans chapter 16. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Romans 16. I'll read from verse 25. Bible says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. He says, according to the mystery that was kept secret before time began, but now made manifest by the prophetic scriptures. Hallelujah. The prophetic scriptures, the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures serve to inform us concerning the work and the person of Christ Jesus. So when we read the Old Testament, we are reading in the light of Jesus' fulfillment of the same. Glory be to God. So when Jesus says, I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but I have come to fulfill them, he was talking about his death and resurrection. Praise God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'll read from verse 7. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Look at verse 10. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired, and search carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. So the prophets were ministering to us. Hallelujah. The prophecies of the prophets, the words of the prophets, the law, hallelujah, they were ministering to us concerning salvation. So when we read the prophets today, when we read the scriptures, the Old Testament books today, what we should be seeing is the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. It says these are the things that have been reported to us through those who have preached the gospel to us by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. So, as we saw yesterday, the doctrine of restitution is an erroneous concept or an erroneous teaching or doctrine in the body of Christ today, because it's a carryover from the Old Testament books, the Old Testament, the law of Moses into the New Testament. Hallelujah. We don't obey instructions in the Old Testament. We only read the Old Testament to understand the things written concerning Jesus that have found their explanation in the letters of the apostles today. The fulfillment of the words of the prophets. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. So, let's make progress today as we study Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, freed from sin. You know, we've been studying forgiveness, remission of sins, and then we've seen in scriptures how that the word remission of sins or forgiveness, as it is in Christ Jesus, is a weightier concept, or weightier reality and idea than what we have in the Old Testament. Glory be to Jesus. In the Old Testament, sins were not taken away. Hebrews 10:1, the law having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of these things. So the law was a shadow. So the forgiveness that is in the law of Moses was a shadow of the forgiveness we have in Christ today. It was not the real thing. Forgiveness according to the Old Testament was pardon. Pardon, atonement, in the which sins were covered. Sins were covered. God was passing over sins in his forbearance. Romans chapter 3 verse 25. Are you following? So, we see that in the Old Testament, forgiveness is different from what we have in Christ today. Forgiveness in Christ today is not just dealing with the offenses. It deals with the offender. It is not just about catering for the actions. It caters for the man himself. It changes his state. So that's why the word forgiveness is from the Greek word aphesis. Aphesis means to release from bondage. To release from bondage to sin. Bondage to Satan. And I said to you, anywhere you find sin used in a noun form in the New Testament, Bible says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It's a singular sin, unbelief. Hallelujah. And this singular sin, unbelief, has a personality behind it. Just like the force and the influence and the nature of righteousness has a person at the back of it. The person of Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. Bible says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Hallelujah. So at the back of the nature of the force or influence of righteousness, there's a personality. It's called Jesus. Hallelujah. It's called Jesus. That's the same way at the back of the nature of sin, of unbelief, is a personality, a force, the devil himself. John chapter 8 verse 44. Look at what Jesus says concerning the devil at John 8 44. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. John chapter 8 verse 44. Popular scripture, I suppose. Hallelujah. John 8 44. Bible says, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar and the father of it. Have you seen? When a man tells lies and walks in falsehood or deals in deception, he says, he's the devil, he's the devil. And he's right. Hallelujah. Because the devil is the influence of sin. But you know what? When the devil lies and speaks falsehood and deals in deception, he can't blame it on anybody. Hallelujah. Why? Because he's the father of it. He's the originator of sin. He's the originator of sin. Everything came from him. Bible says he speaks from his own resources. Hallelujah. From his own resources. So at the back of sin and unbelief is a personality called the devil. So deliverance or freedom from sin is freedom from Satan. Hallelujah. That's the word remission. A release from bondage. Bondage to sin and Satan. Hallelujah. And we see in John 8 how that the reason why Jesus says you have your father the devil was not because of many things they were doing wrong. It was because of a particular sin of unbelief that they were expressing towards his ministry. Hallelujah. They were opposing him, fighting the things he was saying. They did not receive him. They did not believe him. John 1:11, he came to his own did not receive him. But as many as believed on him, he gave the right to become children of God. The Jews were expressing unbelief and faithlessness towards Jesus. So Jesus looks at them and says, you have your father the devil. Hallelujah. So freedom from sin is freedom from Satan. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. We've seen the word aphesis is used for deliverance. It's used for liberty. Hallelujah. Deliverance and liberty. Luke 4:18. The spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. And recovery of sight to the blind. Hallelujah. Liberty to captives. Liberty to captives. And it says to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Liberty. The word liberty to captives, or the phrase liberty to captives here in the KJV, it says deliverance to the captives. Hallelujah. Deliverance is the same. Deliverance and liberty. And that's the word that faces, which means forgiveness, which means remission of sins. Hallelujah. So that tells us that in the New Testament, remission of sins is not just about pardoning your actions and telling you to go and sin no more and telling you to be a good person, make sure you don't commit another sin. It goes beyond resolving issues that have to do with your bad actions and wrong attitudes. No, it goes to the root of it. It deals with the root of it. It delivers you from the power of sin and the influence of the same. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Look at 1 John chapter 5 verse 19 to 20. Humanity is under the influence of Satan. Get this right into your mind. Humanity is under the influence of Satan. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, when people say, I didn't know what came upon me. Truly, 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 people are under an influence. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 to 2. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You see, according to the influence, according to the rule, according to the authority. Hallelujah. According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit will now work in the sons of disobedience. Hallelujah. There's a spirit at work in the sons of disobedience. In fact, when Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 verse 4, it says, you have got little children and you have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It shows you there's a he at work in the Christian and there's a he at work in the world. Hallelujah. There's a he. So there's an influence in the world from which we have been delivered. Hallelujah. we've been delivered from the influence that is at work in the world, from the spirit at work in the sons of disobedience, from the power of Satan. Hallelujah. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5, I'll read from verse 18. It says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, under the control of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. It says, we've been delivered. Hallelujah. We've been set free from the control, from the sway of the wicked one. Glory be to Jesus. Look at Acts 26 verse 18 again. Very important scriptures you must always keep in mind. We were delivered from the power of Satan. So the redemption we have in Christ Jesus, the forgiveness we have in Christ Jesus, goes beyond pardon. It's a deliverance from the power that is at work in the world. Hallelujah. If we were merely pardoned, we are of all men most pitiable, most miserable. Because it will mean that we are still under the power of the evil one, and our sins, our actions were only merely condoned and pardoned and overlooked. So, but Jesus went to the root of the matter. He went to the root of the situation. He got to the root of the problem. He delivered us from the power that held us bound in captivity to sin and darkness. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 26 verse 18. Glory to God. Acts 26 verse 18. Look at what Jesus said to Paul. Acts 26 verse 18. It says, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. And that word power is the word exousia, which means authority, influence, might, force. Hallelujah. So there was a force at work in our lives. There was a power, there was an authority that held us bound. Glory be to Jesus. We could not even release ourselves. That's why sinners cannot just walk out of the kingdom of darkness. They can't just walk out of it. They need to be delivered. And that's the word aphesis. That's the word that means to set free, to deliver from the influence and the power of sin. Glory be to Jesus. Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear son. Have you seen? So we see that the forgiveness in the New Testament is mostly about deliverance from the power of sin. It is majorly about deliverance from the power of sin, a release from bondage to sin and Satan, and a release from the penalty of the sin. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So we see that Jesus at John chapter 8, verse 38, verse 36, he says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus recognizes that humanity is under slavery to sin. Is under the bondage of sin. Is under the bondage of sin. Is under bondage to Satan. So Jesus says, if I make you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, this freedom from sin is what the New Testament forgiveness is about. Hallelujah. Being delivered from the power of sin. Being delivered from the control and the influence of sin. Being separated. Hallelujah. Being separated from the sin influence that is in the world. Glory be to Jesus. Paul devotes a whole chapter to explaining this. Romans chapter 6. Explaining freedom from sin. Freedom from the power of sin. Glory be to Jesus. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Hallelujah. I'll read from verse 1. It says, therefore, what shall we say then? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Hallelujah. Many times people just take this scripture out of context and they begin to preach a very scary sermon. We cannot continue in sin that grace may abound. My beloved, we must not continue in sin if we want grace to abound. That's not what Paul is saying in this place. As a matter of fact, at Romans chapter 5 verse 20, the man Paul already says, moreover, where the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Grace abounded much more. Paul already showed us that what made offense abound was the law. Hallelujah. Grace does not make sin abound. It is the law that made offenses abound. He now says, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Now he begins to quickly further explain what he meant at Romans chapter 6. Lest people take him out of context. Lest people begin to misinterpret his words. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue? Are we saying we should continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. Hallelujah. In the King David says, God forbid. Now, when you read scriptures like this, don't assume What Paul is saying is, if we continue in sin, God will not even tolerate it at all. Ah, no, it's too bad and all that. No, that's not what he's saying. In fact, the word or the phrase rather, certainly not, or God forbid, is used to express an impossibility. This is how you find it used most times in the letters of Paul. Something impossible. It is not that God will not take it to. It is that God made it impossible. We cannot continue in sin. Because if you read the next verse, you understand it very clearly. Certainly not. God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So the reason why we cannot continue in sin is because we died to sin. Hallelujah. We died to it. And I said to you, most times in the letters of Paul, where you find certainly not, or God forbid, it is used to express an impossibility. Something that cannot happen. Glory be to Jesus. Something that cannot happen. Something that is impossible. Let's see some examples. Romans chapter 3, verse 3 to 4. Romans 3, 3 to 4. Bible says, for what if some did not believe? With their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? God forbid. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written. So, he says, their unbelief cannot make the faithfulness of God without effect. He says, with their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not, God forbid. That is, it is impossible. The unbelief of men cannot make the faithfulness of God without effect. It is something that cannot happen. It is not that it will happen, then God will now say, ah, God forbid. No, it cannot happen. The unbelief of men cannot make the faithfulness of God without effect. It's impossible. So whenever you see God forbid, in most places in the letters of Paul, when you see God forbid, just put it is impossible. Hallelujah. It is impossible. Glory be to Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 5 to 6 also. But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unjust who inflicts wrath? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how will God judge the world? You know, God can never be unrighteous. So God cannot never be unrighteous. God can never be unjust. So he says, God forbid. That is, it is impossible. Glory be to Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 30 to 31. Romans 3, 30 to 31. Hallelujah. Romans 3, 30 to 31. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. On the contrary, we establish the law. That is, we can't make the law void. The law has a purpose. So, the only thing we can do to the law is to establish the law, is to establish the right use of the law. Hallelujah. To see the true essence of the law. So that when he says, God forbid, he's saying that we can't make the law void. Hallelujah. In fact, the word void there is the word katagio, which means to abolish. Glory be to Jesus. To abolish, to render useless. And Jesus says, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So we don't render the law void. We only show the fulfillment of the same in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's how to establish the law, to show the fulfillment of the same in Christ Jesus. So God forbid means we cannot make the law void. The law has its use and purpose, and it has served it in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So look at this other example. Romans chapter 7 verse 7. Glory to Jesus. Romans 7 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Hallelujah. Can you see? Because the law cannot be seen. Hallelujah. The law cannot be seen. So it is not that when you see God forbid, it is not that those things can happen, then God will not take it. It is that those things are impossible. It is impossible for it to happen that way. Hallelujah. The law cannot be seen. So God forbid. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Why? It's impossible. Why? Because we died to sin. Glory be to Jesus. It's an impossibility. What sin did we die to? The sin of unbelief. Hallelujah. This is not referring to works of the flesh. This is referring to the sin of unbelief. A singular sin. We died to it. We can't continue in unbelief. We can't continue to be rebellious, to be stubborn-hearted and stiff-necked. We can't continue to be rebellious towards God. Why? Because we have died to sin. We have died to the influence of sin. We have died to the influence of Satan. Hallelujah. The heart of stone has been taken away and the heart of flesh has been given. Metaphors for rebellion and submission to God. Hallelujah. A heart that is in willing obedience, that lives in willing obedience to the Father. That's what we have in Christ Jesus. Look at this other place, Romans chapter 9, verse 13 to 14. Romans 9, 13 to 14. Bible says, Romans 9, 13 to 14, as it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Have you sinned again? There can't be unrighteousness with God. So, God forbid. God forbid means it is impossible. It cannot happen. Hallelujah. It is impossible. Glory be to Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians 6 verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 15. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 6 15. Bible says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. It's an impossible. Members of Christ cannot become members of a harlot. Hallelujah. Galatians 2 17. The final one. Galatians chapter 2 verse 17. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Galatians 2:17. Look at this quickly. Galatians chapter 2, verse 17. Bible says, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? God forbid. Have you seen? It's impossible, because Christ cannot be a minister of sin. So back to Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 2 again. I'm going to be closing very soon. I have a function. Pastor duty, hallelujah, this morning. Pastoral duty this morning. So I have to escape quickly. But then let me begin to round off by explaining again Romans chapter 6, verse 1. You see, we saw how that forgiveness or remission of sins is released from bondage to sin. And so at Romans chapter 6, you are going to miss the point Paul is trying to make if you get fixated on shall we continue in sin? Oh, we must not continue in sin. No, that's not what Paul is saying here. Hallelujah. Paul is saying we cannot continue in sin because we died to sin. So that's the freedom we are talking about. We died to sin. Hallelujah. Look at verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Verse 4. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. That the body of sin might be done away with. That the body of sin might be done away with. Hallelujah. The body of sin has been done away with. Glory to Jesus. That's a figurative way of saying that we died to sin. Hallelujah. That we were released from the influence and the power of Satan. The body of sin has been done away with in Christ Jesus. It says that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Have you seen? That we should no longer be slaves of sin. We were once slaves of sin, but in Christ Jesus, by faith in him and our identification with the same, we have been delivered from the power of sin. We have been set free from being slaves of sin, and we have become slaves of righteousness. Hallelujah. Look at verse 7. For he who has died has been freed from sin. We have been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ Jesus, verse 8, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Look at verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. That is, acknowledge this fact that you have died to sin. You have been freed from sin. Glory be to Jesus. That's the crux of forgiveness, of remission of sins in the New Testament. Freedom and deliverance from sin. Being dead to sin. Hallelujah. So we have died to sin. Glory be to Jesus. That's forgiveness. We died to sin. We were delivered from the power of sin. We have been freed from sin in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So sin has no dominion over us. Sin has no dominion over us. Sin has no right, has no authority over us anymore. We have been delivered from the influence of sin. Glory be to Jesus. So this is not just us, you know, having our offenses or our actions of sins pardoned and overlooked. This is us being transformed, being delivered from the power of sin. We have been set free from slavery to sin, from bondage to sin, and we have become slaves of righteousness. Hallelujah. We have become slaves of righteousness. We have become free indeed. Even as Jesus says in John 8:36, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. The believer is a free man. Hallelujah. He is free from the influence of sin. He is free from the control and the power of Satan. Hallelujah. Satan is no longer his Lord and Master. He has gained ascendancy over the devil and his cohorts, over the devil and his kingdom. Glory be to Jesus. You know, the devil is called the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, is called the prince of this age. Hallelujah. The prince of this, the ruler of this world. Praise God. The ruler of this world, the God of this age, the God of this world. Praise God. But you know what? The believer has been delivered from his influence because the believer has been called out of the world into the kingdom of Christ. So Jesus says, you are not of this world. You are not of this world. We are not of this world. We have been delivered from the influence of the power at work in the world. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It says, for whatever is born of God has overcome the world, and this is the victory which has overcome the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. So we have overcome the world and the he that is at work in this world. We have overcome the world and the power at work in this world. Glory be to Jesus. We have victory in Christ Jesus by the offer of remission of sins. Glory be to Jesus. Oh, thank God for your word this morning. Thank God because our hearts are illuminated afresh. Thank God because your word renews our mind, renews our thoughts. Glory be to Jesus. So we're going to continue from this place tomorrow. Do good to tune in, 7 a.m. Hallelujah, 7 a.m. Let's come together again to have a powerful time in the Word of God. Invite somebody, tell your friend, tell your neighbors, tell your family members. Hallelujah. You know, it's part of doing the work of ministry when you invite people to come and feast on the Word together with you. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. And then, you know, share the gospel with somebody again. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Have a great day being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of power, full of faith. Hallelujah. See you in the next episode.